This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
That's a yawn, eh? Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Wednesday, the 27th of March, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We are only a few days away from Easter holiday, and I want to keep it sort of light today. I am expecting representatives from the Bahamas National Drug Council on. That agency is nestled within the Ministry of Health and Wellness. And I'm excited to hear what they are coming to talk about. I think it may relate to the Bahamas National Drug Council's 39th anniversary. I think they're coming to talk about the launch of a new campaign emanating from the Bahamas National Drug Council, the One Choice campaign. It is, I think, a local campaign connected to an international campaign called One Choice Prevention. And you can find info about that at onechoiceprevention.org. It is a campaign, I think, aimed at reducing teen alcohol consumption. I'm excited to learn more about what has taken place during the National Substance Use Prevention Month. And the Bahamas National Drug Council is running another campaign, 40 Days of Substance Use Prevention. 40 Days of Substance Use Prevention. So I look forward to their arrival. Texas said, Miss Green, we want to talk about fried fish and hot cross bun today. Well, we can do a little housekeeping and a little open lining until our guests arrive. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for our Family Island residents. 242-300-5720 is toll-free. It's toll-free for our Family Island residents. And the text line, as always, powered by BTC, is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Joining me in studio is Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I am good.
Today is Wednesday. That is Man Down Mash of Wednesday. But however, we both have guests.
Yes.
Yes. So we'll be mashing together the shows, but it won't be an open line or analytical type show.
Yes.
Right? But on my side, I guess we could do some interrogation on the guest who's coming in.
Well, on the subject matter that the guest is coming to talk about.
Yeah, it's a good subject.
Yeah, I think it's more of an informative session.
Yeah, but I like history. And I want the history of the topic to have a greater understanding, an appreciation of NIB. A number of people just don't understand NIB. And my guest is a consultant at NIB, and he's going to be explaining why we're having this rate increase. But I want to know what NIB is. So I've been asking some questions about the history of NIB, why it was instituted, why, and then explain.
And the why is so important.
Right? Yeah, the why is so important.
And the how it was implemented is important for this now future day conversation.
Yes.
About what do we expect from that agency, right? And Are we getting what we expect?
And what we should expect.
Right. Is the agency operating according to its foundational principles, right?
And mandate and so on. So if you're listening on the 11 o'clock hour, about 11:07, you can call and engage the consultant. But mind you, he's here to explain the increase rate. Right. But he has agreed to go over the history of NIB. So we all Bahamians can appreciate why it is important to take care of, to maintain this board.
And I guess, and why any discussion about NIB should hold prominence, right?
Yes. It's important. Important for the nation.
Absolutely. And it's a great discussion to sort of experience coincidentally other issues, right? For instance, this is a conversation about the future.
About the future.
And what we are prepared to do as individuals.
Secure our future?
To secure not just our future, but to secure the future of New Bahamians.
And mind you, this is not one of those shows where you call and say, I have paid, you know, their personal testimony. I have paid NIB and I ain't getting nothing yet. It ain't about that. It's about the whole concept of NIB and concluding on why this rate hike is important, right? And then we go into details of when last they had the rate hike. Apparently, they only had it once. And then when they lift the ceiling in terms of payment. And what does that mean? How did that impact the revenue, et cetera, et cetera? Right. General information. So when people start commenting on the subject, especially calling in.
Particular issues related to NIB, they have greater context, right, to build their question.
Yes.
Right.
Instead of guessing work. But that's what we plan to do at 11:07. But yes, we supposed to have guests at 10 o'clock hour. They haven't showed up as yet. So what in the meantime you plan to do?
I'm going to read this text.
Read the text then.
It says, please, Darius, O is a letter. Zero is a number. Please, in reading a phone, say zero and not O. I want you to understand how many people we're going to confuse when we say zero.
On my phone, there is an O on my phone.
But isn't there also a zero?
But there's also a zero. Yeah. But O is a letter and zero is a number.
Yes.
And at times zero has no value, then at times zero adds value. Zero is confusing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Texter. You know why I like this text? Let me tell you why I like this text. But when I was growing up, watching ZNS, because that's the only thing there was to watch, we'd watch the news. And my mother would remind us or tell us, like if somebody made a grammatical error, right? This is her way of reinforcing good grammar on us. She would, whenever we made a grammatical error, she would say, you know, Bahamians listen to the news, and if they hear or perceive a grammatical error or an error in syntax, anything, they would write the corporation.
What?
They would write the corporation, and they'd say, listen, good evening, ma'am, sir. On the evening of this date, during the news broadcast, a reporter used this or said this, and I would like to just enlighten you that the correct term or the correct way to use that word or that term is this.
Bahamians used to do that yesterday?
Yeah.
And write into the corporation?
Yeah. Wow. Write letters. That's before we had email. That's before we had technology that would make it
thinking
easier.
I just thinking of someone taking the time and effort to say, hey, I'm going to make sure this person learn how to use this grammar properly.
It is absolutely important. I think a lot of those people were educators or former educators, right? And felt that even if they were retired or they were not on the job,
they have a duty of care.
They have a duty of care.
Are Bahamians still interested in doing things like that?
We can evidence by the texter.
Well, okay.
And I would like to say evidenced by how I received the text. Yes, Bahamians are still interested in that. In fact, it is a missing element from our society. If somebody makes a mistake, and you could tell that they don't realize they're making a mistake, I think you do have a duty of care to let them know that they're making a mistake or they're not doing it the correct way. How is somebody supposed to know
for the next time
if nobody tells them? the duty of care isn't just about the individual who you may be correcting. The duty of care speaks to creating an environment in which people will be safer, right? And so that environment includes you, the person who's making the correction. So there's a duty of care to ensure that at the very least people know what the right thing is.
So let's go on record and thank the texter.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I'm hoping the conversation shows that I appreciate that, and that we need more of that in society. Because what we've developed culturally...
Thin-skinnedness?
I don't want to say thin-skinnedness, because that's actually an indicator of something else.
What is it indicator of?
That the people are in crisis. Thin-skinnedness is not a bad attitude. What it really connotes is that the person is at the end of their rope. That in a normal circumstance, maybe they could take that teasing. Maybe they could take that joke. But the person may be in a state of psychological, emotional, financial, or even physical crisis. So thin-skinnedness is really about, like, your protection has worn down.
What about the grammar police? And we're going on a tangent altogether, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to make an important point, and in the midst of the important point, someone chooses to correct what you're trying to say, derailing you from making the point.
Right. And I think it's very easy to see whether somebody is making a correction for the purpose of expanding the conversation, bringing clarity to the conversation, pushing the conversation forward, and, right, there's a difference between that and somebody that, like you say, corrects to derail. They have no interest in the conversation itself, or their interest is to shut it down. And so then they come in and say something that implies, I don't like you. I don't care if you're right or you're wrong. The premise, I want to shut this conversation down. There is a place for the grammar police, but the tone in which you correct will show the person very clearly whether it is constructive criticism or if you are just beating them down. Good morning. Zero is American, not is British, so the text is still wrong. No, the text is not wrong, but imagine how much more confusion we would have if I said the number is 242-3-0-0-5720.
Yeah.
Somebody can tell me, miss, you can't go north in the telephone number. I'm going to say, call Mr. Minnis. Mr. Minnis know how to go east and then turn and go. He know how to do that.
Isn't north his last name? Like his mother's last name?
Could be.
Yeah, so he'd like to use north.
Yeah. He could do it, not me.
Yeah.
And not in this number, 242-3-0-0-5720.
How fast you're growing about?
So when we go back to this question of grammar police, right? It is a fascinating question because in many instances, people use it to shut individuals down and to end conversations. It is used as a weapon. However, what we say is you use common sense to determine which of the options available to you you should use. And then the language you use depends on the audience you're addressing, evidenced by the office of the prime minister, right? Tone and language changes depending on the audience that you're addressing. And so a fascinating conversation, how we use language there's a term for it, even I don't know the term for it, but how do we use this sort of grammar rules to shut people down, to devalue their contributions, or even to say they are lesser of a person because they don't know how to speak, and in this Bahamian context, the Queen's English. When we know that your dialect, your accent that may affect how the words sound coming out your mouth, your pronunciation, none of these things make you a lesser person or a greater person. Now, there's some people, I mean, I get the critique on the show, And we used to hear the critique made of Jeffrey Lloyd all the time with these 10-pound words. And people took it as an offense that Lloyd, and people sometimes take it as an offense that I would use language that they feel is haughty-taughty, right? It's bougie language, and they feel that it's unnecessary. But the more words you're introduced to, right, then you see why people choose particular words to convey particular sentiments. Now, when we go into academia, that's a space right there where we see it all the time. Some of the language generated in academia, in the sort of tertiary university space, as an advocate, as somebody sitting outside of academia, is oftentimes I look at that language and I'm like, what are y'all trying to say, and why would you need so many unnecessary words to say it?
Simple language. This is one of the reasons why we're hoping that on the NIB side, on the next hour, we break it down to simple language for us. Mm-hmm. Not for the technocrats right. who know these jargons, but simple language for the concerns that the basic, the general populace understands.
And in this government space, it's a very important conversation, because you may have heard sort of anecdotally off the job in a private space, policymakers or state actors say things like, it's not hard. If they wanted to understand it, they would.
Yes. If you wanted to research it, you could go online and search it yourself.
Right. But there's an actual job where people take sort of highfalutin technical language and they translate it into what we call layman's terms for the average citizen. See, there's a principle in there that sort of undergirds that, right? Which is the citizen is the center of governance.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no governance without the citizen. And so the state has an obligation to make its language and its words accessible to the general public.
Hmm.
And if you know where your education level sits, right, it's unfair to say, well, any first-year university student can understand what it is we're saying. That's not the point. The point is that every citizen should understand should be able to understand what you're saying. And if you find a large portion of your society doesn't, the indictment isn't on them. The indictment is on the state that regulates the education system.
Yes. So what's next? What else is trending? I know we're still waiting on your guests to contact us to see if they are coming on, right? But what's trending inside the news? I see the Deputy Prime Minister is talking about the opposition again. I see we still have issues with traffic, car tragedy. My sister-in-law came to me and said someone blew her off the red light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she come to the junction, red light, and she didn't make the left turn.
Mm-hmm. Because it's illegal. It's a traffic offense
mm-hmm.
to turn left on red where there is no sign indicating you can turn left on red.
And as she waited for the traffic light to change, the person behind her blared their horn, saying all kind of harsh words why she wouldn't move her car, mm-hmm. right? Then the person, three car deep behind her, proceeded to attempt to cut in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
One had a government plate and say a couple exchange words on why you are staying at the red light, knowing that you could turn left on red.
Except you can't.
Right? And my concern, and why I brought this up, because it's open line until your guests come, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone is derelict of duty. This has been 2 years now since the police officer. How long?
It's been, let me give you a proper timeline.
Go ahead.
July 27th, 2019.
No, that's when the law passed.
That's when the law was gazetted.
Yes. But I'm not even talking about that. This is what I'm talking about. Remember when the police
superintendent
came on and then informed us that it's not automatic to turn left. However, that Ministry of Works needs to put proper signage. It has been now 2 years since he made that declaration.
You missed the best part of the declaration.
Go ahead.
We're not actually going to enforce it.
But the police, say again, I understand. What you saying?
The officer said that they're not going to enforce.
Enforce what? I didn't understand that.
They're not going to enforce the law.
Of turning left.
Right, that you cannot turn left on red. Unless
that you can turn left on red. Okay, if I turn, but this is why my confusion. If I turn left on a red light, they're not going to enforce me getting arrested?
Although it is a traffic offense,
okay.
He indicated that they would not be enforcing that particular law at the time.
So I could turn left?
No, you can't.
See, that's what you're trying to, the verbiage you're using.
It's not the verbiage. That the police said that they're not enforcing it means nothing. And I would like to make this notice to the general public.
Uh-huh.
A police officer telling you that they are not going to enforce that traffic offense means nothing. Any officer could enforce that traffic that law at any time. Any officer at any time.
Mm.
Further to that, if you cause or you are part of an accident and you turned left on red where there was no sign indicating you could turn left on red, the insurance company is going to insist that the person that turned left on red with no authorization is responsible for the accident. I mean, if that is the cause.
My point is, it's been 2 years since the sergeant, what is he? Superintendent.
Officer in charge of road traffic at the time.
At the time. Said that Ministry of Works need to do their job and erect the signs. 2 years later, Ministry of Works has yet to erect any signs. Who is the minister at Ministry of Works and how come we have yet to call for him to be fired? Let's call for people to get fired now. Just because, incompetent, get fired.
Because the last time I think I called for him to get fired, you said you liked him and you didn't think... didn't think he should get fired.
That's my boy. If this is my boy, he can't get fired. No. I'm getting confused on who's the current minister
Sweden.
Of work. No. You can't fire Sweden. You can row him. Because I have Sweden going for deputy prime minister. You could row Sweden, but you can't ask for him to get fired.
Let's go to
even if he's incompetent or not. But I need some traffic signs to be put erected.
Let's go to this call and we can pick that conversation back up. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Eric.
Morning. How you do?
Morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning to you.
I'm trying to catch you guys before you get started with your guest.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I have a concern.
Mm-hmm.
My son is a ferry boat captain for one of the keys in Eleuthera.
Okay.
And he had an issue with his boat, so he refused to load up the boat with the gas for fear that there may be a problem on the sea on the way to land.
Mm-hmm.
And his superior is arguing him to tow the people.
Okay,
I just want to get that out there because I tell him he can't do what he feels is unsafe for the guests because we don't want to have another encounter like what happened at the other place. You understand me?
Yes, cousin.
So tell me if you think he's wrong for disobeying his superior, who seemed to want to lean hard on him to loading up the boat with guests, knowing that it may cause a problem between the land and the ship.
Okay, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't work for the labor board, and I'm not in human resources. But I don't really want to talk about this in the interest of protecting your son. But I think that your son, as a ferry boat operator, any ferry boat operator, any operator of a motorized vehicle, has an obligation to ensure that the vessel, the vehicle, is seaworthy or roadworthy before they begin to operate it. Also, they have a duty to ensure that it is seaworthy or roadworthy before they take on passengers for a journey.
That's exactly what he is trying to have happen. However, they asked his superior, mind you, not everybody, just his superior. One person in particular is trying to push him to go beyond where he needs to go.
So I'm
on this, and I just off the phone with him, and I tell him, don't do it.
I know.
Don't do it.
Absolutely. And in his interest, what he should do is he should find all the laws related to this issue, and they are changing. In fact, I wish I had known you was going to call because I was contemplating whether I was going to take those notes down. There continues the conversation about boat registration fees and reform within that legislative space is in the paper this week and last week, speaking to why they need insurance or that the provisions of this new or amended bill also aim to provide a safer industry. And so
exactly.
Tell your son that he has to take the time, maybe even if he has a lawyer friend or a friend who's a student studying law, to identify and make copies of all the relevant laws and all the relevant provisions, all the regulations that govern his industry. And if his supervisor reprises, if there's a reprisal or if they make it an issue, then you present these documents to his boss saying, listen, I think there's a conflict here, and I want to ensure as a ferry captain that I am always operating within the scope of the law, particularly since we're not talking about a pleasure craft, and I'm just taking myself and co-workers on the water. I'm operating a public service, and that's the way to approach it.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
I am concerned when any ferry boat operator say, man, I want to do my job, but my bosses, them are pressuring me. How do you deal with it? Do you become a whistleblower and say, hey, people, these people doing illegal stuff. Do you risk your job like that?
Absolutely. No, you don't. I got a text here that says, you can turn left because I was waiting on a corner to turn and a police opened his speaker on the patrol car and said that I can turn on red. Okay, so in this instance, if a police car says that you could turn on red and they don't have on their emergency lights, right? Note that. Note the number of the vehicle because all police cars have an identifying number on it.
Except the news truck. The news trucks don't have anything on it.
They have a plate. Take the plate number down.
Okay.
Approach the intersection, come to a complete stop before entering the intersection, check that the way is clear, and go. If an accident occurs, then you indicate to your lawyer, I use that word intentionally, to your lawyer that an officer prompted you to turn left on red. And here are the identifying symbols. The symbols to identify the vehicle that was being operated by the police so that you can identify the officers that gave you that instruction.
I hear all that. And particularly by where NIB is to turn left on Blue Hill Road, I've seen police cars who have turned left on the red light, right? But you're behind them and saying, but that one just jumped the red light. But that's here, not there. My concern is a culture of
lawlessness,
and that's the right word. I'm glad you tell me that. It's a culture of lawlessness that we are breathing, a contempt for the law that we are breathing. And in the future, I believe that the chicken will come home to roost when we say, man, we always doing this.
The future is yesterday.
Yeah, but the future is now.
It was yesterday. Do you remember the story of the suspect that was charged before the courts, and he absconded. Parents had to, or the family members had to deal with that. One of those cases, the individual is accused of, I think, stabbing a man that resulted in his death after a traffic accident. So that chicken came home to roost yesterday. We've already bred sociopaths and psychopaths by our lawlessness, not just disregard for the law, but disregard for how our schizophrenic behavior impacts our children and young people. Because the child that sits in the car with a parent that turns left on red without stopping at the intersection, without making sure that the way is clear before they go, that person is also a person responsible for disciplining their children. Hmm. Absolutely. But I want to talk more about traffic for a little bit, Mr. Newry. Let's blame the guests for not showing up. I got 4 pages of notes. I was really excited to talk to them about that. There's a couple more things I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
I noticed that there are a number of what we call rideshare businesses popping up.
Rideshare.
It's like a Uber or Lyft style business.
Is that legal in the Bahamas? Like taxis, eh? Taxis who do Lyfts, and
yeah,
Uber
but I
services.
Didn't say a taxi that does a Lyft or Uber service.
Is we have liveries.
We have taxis. We have companies that are licensed to do that. Like we have Cheryl's, and then we have Safe Ride. You know, if I get Mr. Gray, I think this is last name, Mr. Gray. Forgive me if I get your name wrong. The gentleman has been on Morning Blend a number of times, mm-hmm. I think on my show, to talk about his service and why his service differs from a number of other service providers.
Is that an entity, a licensed entity?
It's a licensed entity, right?
Okay.
And so my concern is, do these companies have the requisite authority to offer the service
mm-hmm.
so that they can have the proper insurance for this professional service? That's my biggest concern. The concern is, does a company like that require a special license, like a taxi license? Does every individual driving for the company require a taxi license or a special certification or authorization? Does the driver require, like, professional insurance policy?
So wait.
Because you're running a service?
You're doing a private company.
Right.
Who the private company drops people off, pick up and drop off. And you're saying that some of those people might not have a public service license, but they're still doing pick up and drop off?
Right. They may not have a public service license. The vehicles may not have the correct plate. But the bigger concern is,
and can a private vehicle do that job?
Right. Will your... Of course, a private vehicle could do it. The question is, will the insurance for a private car be valid if the car is being used in the operation of a professional service?
Hmm.
And for the number of companies that I've seen spring up...
And advertising,
I don't see any conversation... I don't see any indication in the flyers or on the websites of the type of insurance coverage that the drivers have. I don't see any of that. But I see people who are very excited about this possible option, particularly given the increase in taxi fares that was just announced by 10%. I think lots of people want to use that type of service. But the question is, are those businesses properly insured to offer this type of service?
Sound like they are glorified hackers.
So it sounds like.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest concern.
We might say that culture of lawlessness.
Yeah.
This is an indicator of culture of lawlessness and that which the chicken will come home to roost in the future.
Here's my biggest concern. Every advert, every commercial that I've seen for one of these companies, the driver doesn't have on a seatbelt.
If they are operating under the law, beyond the law, above the law, they don't have to wear a seatbelt, eh? They're lawless. Why are you going to be lawless
and
to be lawless legal?
You have to wear a seatbelt.
And they're driving illegally anyway? They're gangsters.
But what I'm saying is...
I can tell you ever see any gangsters who's robbed... Hold on. You ever see any of these gangsters who do these drive-bys be wearing a seatbelt? No. They're lawless. That's what they lawless people do.
I don't see nothing... I mean, I don't see gangsters. You think I see them, eh?
They all over Nassau.
I mean, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
The question is, do your eyes wake like my eyes?
No, I'm nearsighted, so, you know.
I'm far-sighted.
Go ahead, Aaron.
But I think it's an important point to make, and I think that it's immature to accept or to compel others or to tell others that you're being... In fact, somebody told me I was being a hater. I was being a hater. Because I said that I hope that these companies are properly insured. But I-47, I know spring chicken, and I wonder if my peers realize that this is the role and function that we are supposed to be playing in society right now. Yeah, but I just wanted to say that from I see your advert and your driver is operating the motor vehicle without his belt on, with a cell phone in his hand...
Cell phone too?
I don't care if you don't have insurance because I ain't driving with you. And when I see your vehicle, I'm going far, far away from it. Hmm. But I do care. I do care because we all share the roads. And that's the point. The point is that even if I am not going to employ their services, I still have to share the road with them. And we may have forgotten, but at the end of last year, Commissioner of Police Fernanda indicated that of the 8,000 plus reported accidents for 2023, over 50% of the vehicles involved were uninsured. Let's go to the text line for a second, and then I'm going to ask you an Easter question, Mr. Newry.
Yeah, I like Easter questions.
You know why they put the lines in the road?
Which lines? The separated lines or the long?
All. We can get to it in a second. Okay. Here's a text here. That's exactly... Oh, you can't turn left because... Oh, that's the police story. That's exactly where it was at NIB Light, but he was going straight. I was waiting to turn. I had a young man threatened to do me in. He started rummaging in his car for what appeared to be a weapon.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't turn left. It turns out I wasn't turning left. Like, it turns out...
He was going straight.
I was going straight.
Yeah, couldn't turn left.
To Bay Street. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. My plan is to go straight. And I couldn't go straight because an oversized construction vehicle, like one of those vehicles that paved the road, they shoot the asphalt out the back, was coming up the road. And I couldn't go anywhere. And I just thought, I was so disappointed. It was such a handsome young man to be so foolish. Anyway, that's the music playing. When we get back from the break, we're going to read through all of these texts. And then I'm going to learn, Mr. Newry, about why these lines in the road. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Just before I get into the text, I want to say good morning. Special shout out to my cousin and your cousin, from the Hannah Hasty Tynes family, Mona Knowles. We are praying for your quick recovery. I want to say, if anybody have any juju on their tree right now, I need you to call me, call the Guardian, because my friend Mona needs some juju to aid her healing process. Juju could do it. Why? Because an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Also, I want to say good morning to Joe Knowles, my cousin, Mr. Joe Knowles. Good morning, sir. And Mr. Newry, you like Afro grooves? You like Afro beats?
Yeah, I like Afro beats.
I go into a little Afro groove party this Saturday.
Will P. Diddy be there? I hear he's an asshole.
Let me get to the text line.
You
saw that thing, eh? No, I mean, when I wanted to talk about P. Diddy, nobody wanted to talk about P. Diddy.
Yeah, I know about P. Diddy.
But when we have a show about
P. Diddy,
rape culture and sexual violence, maybe we'll talk about it.
I see you have a caller too. But go ahead.
Oh, let's go to the caller. Texas, I come to you in a second. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Wonderful. Just want to interject in this conversation about the traffic situation and people turning left and doing all this stuff.
Yes, sir.
See, I think these parents as well need to raise these children in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And how to have respect for their elders and things of that nature, because a lot of people just be calm and collected,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you grow up a little on the rough side.
Yeah.
You may have a job or work for a company or whatever, but you still have that roughness on you.
Mm-hmm.
And these still children or teenagers or down 20-something-year-old person carrying on with you on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone ain't gonna be receptive to that.
Yep.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
It could come out of some people.
Yeah.
But these parents need to go to their children. They don't have respect for the elders. Or something happens to their children when they're 40.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. I just want to say that. Thank you.
And the way we can do that is by modeling, by parents modeling respect for their peers. Right? When parents show kids that I don't have any respect for my peers, the kids are not going to have any respect for those elders either. They just won't have any respect. And I like that you use the word respect, right? Because we talk about law and lawlessness and social contracts, right? Vast majority of people follow the law not because they have a great reverence or respect for the law, but they follow the law because they have a great reverence and respect for their fellow citizens, for other human beings. See, that's the social contract side of it. I will moderate my behavior because I don't want to risk injuring somebody else. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning, how you do?
Man, everything bless up, man. See?
Hey, blessings you, man.
Yeah, man. But Aaron, we can't get nothing right in this country, man. Let me get something right, man. I remember Randred Wells standing up in the House Assembly and say they could pass a law now for to help relieve traffic that you could turn left on the red light. That's all Randred Wells say.
I know he didn't mention the rest of the provision in law.
Right. He didn't mention that, man. And then now, like y'all say, Inspector Lockhart come on with only University Boulevard by the Coliseum, by the University of Bahamas is the only place you could end. When we could do something right in this country, man, we can't get nothing right. We can't even get the states had a turn right signal from Moses this. We can't just implement a turn left on the red light.
With a signal, right?
But a signal without constant, what you see, man?
Right, just in every new lamp pole you erect, if you can turn left, put up a sign, right? Put it on the light. And so the left turn signal is green, and then when the left turn signal turns red, then you know you cannot turn left. Right?
Yeah, because it does relieve traffic. And then now I notice they just putting these turning lanes. We didn't need these turning lanes for every Soldier Road by Prince William School and around the place. They just adding in these turning lanes now, at least putting the marking down on the road. We didn't need long. I didn't know why they didn't do them long time. They're telling you, no. Soldier Road and Blue Road heading east.
Yep.
They say, oh, no turning lane there. Now they got the paint on the ground now, but turning lane there. We can't get nothing like. And Aaron, let me just say this before I go.
Yes, sir.
I have a great deal of respect for you and CA knowledge, you know. You, when you was off in England, you were studying to be a lawyer or something.
No.
I like how you handled that situation with the gentleman, you know, with the PLP. Diehard supporter. What is called? What asked you all yesterday or day before yesterday? Say, so you saying the financial secretary lying? You said, come, you all finished with him? You all had him saying, yeah, okay, it was a misunderstanding in the papers. You all had to tell him, man, we read it from right out of the papers. Man, you all handled that situation so good. You all impressed me so serious.
Thank
man,
you.
I still have so much respect for you all knowledge.
Thank
Aaron, you was dropping like a lawyer, man. By the time as you finished with him, he come on to the show with this demeanor. Oh, so you all trying to say the financial secretary lying? Time as you all finish with him, you all had all y'all was on the same path saying, okay, yes, yeah, a misunderstanding, it's two conflicting stories and everything like that. And then he tries to say, don't put no words in my mouth. You all trying to say, I'm a liar. And then I trying to say, you all is like, no, your demeanor. How you come on with the radio? Hear it. So you trying to say the financial secretary is a liar?
Thank you, cousin.
Why? You all handle that situation, so you all impress me so serious. Keep up the plan and don't let them go and try come and just bum rush your show. Yes, because they is a die-hard supporter of one party and try to make it look like you're all stupid when you're all reading the thing direct from the paper, what the paper saying, man.
Thank you.
You all handle that situation so good? All
thank
right,
you
all have a nice day, man.
Continue
the good way.
Thank you, sir. Blessings. Ooh. Blessings, absolutely. Lines in the road, Mr. Newry.
Okay,
you drive on Eastern Road?
I drive on Eastern Road.
You drive past Blair?
I drive past Blair.
You drive past Johnson Road?
I drive past Johnson Road.
And Fox Hill Road?
No,
I
turn on Fox Hill.
And you have to go into the lines in the road to turn
yes,
on
Fox
Hill.
Yes, I go into the sideline to turn or turn in.
All right. At the Blair and Johnson Road intersections,
mm-hmm.
you have the, on the western side of the intersection there is a turn lane.
Yes.
On the eastern side of the intersection, those lines continue going east until they taper into one single line.
Yes.
Denoting the two lanes.
Yes.
Did you know that if you're exiting Johnson Road or Blair, but the westbound traffic is clear, so you can leave the corner, but the eastbound traffic is still flowing, so you can't enter that lane of traffic yet. Did you know that you could occupy that space on the eastern side of the intersection within those striped lines until the way clears?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're turning right.
No.
If you're going straight?
Yes. You are turning into Johnson Road.
Yeah.
You get into the turn lane.
Yeah.
On the eastern side of the intersection.
Okay.
Those lines continue.
Yes.
Until they taper until they become one straight line.
Yes.
That little space there, if you are leaving Johnson Road, trying mm-hmm. to turn east, mm-hmm. and the westbound lane is clear so you can get out, but the eastbound lane still has traffic flowing, you can occupy that space yes. with your turn signal on to then merge into the eastbound traffic.
That happens at Fox Hill. So what's the problem?
The problem is many people don't know that. The problem is many people are actually unaware of what the lines and markings in the road indicate. They indicate what you can do and they indicate what you cannot do.
Mind you, it might have been some decades since I went to that driving school thing. That was not on the test. They just tell you the lines is one you can overtake on and one you can't overtake on. I don't remember ever being asked, what's with this turning lane? So you can't blame the people if they've never been taught.
I didn't say I was blaming the people.
Yeah, that's letting you know.
I'm just saying that the state of affairs is that most people don't know.
Because no one told them.
But the next question is, why don't they know?
That's not part of the test.
Why is it not a part of the test? Now, I know those lines are new. The lines that I'm talking about are new. But things like single line, double line, broken line, those things are on the test.
Yeah. But not that line you're talking about.
Well, it's new.
Yeah, it's new. It's a new rule.
And so I await all the PSAs and the billboard signs to show people how they're supposed to use the new signage in the road.
Well,
Let's go to the caller. Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Nuri.
Blessings, inshallah.
Yeah. What are you talking about today?
We're talking about people who refuse to operate within the system, operate within the law. I want to make a particular point that before you decide that you can flaunt a law, break a law, ignore a law, right, go around a system, you need to understand the system entirely before you can begin breaking its rules.
Our problem is, for way back in culture time, we did not reinforce our laws.
Yeah.
We when I was growing up as a young man, our problem was reinforcing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you.
So until we get that part together,
we're going to have a lot of problems.
It'll be a problem. Now, they're talking about
traffic
from the police perspective, from all angles of ministries. They always a gateway, a cutout.
Pumpkin Eater, forgive me. I want to try to get to these texts before we end the hour.
Sure. But that's my contribution.
No, thank you. And enforcement is obviously the major part of the issue. When I was growing up, when I was younger, I would say even up to 10 years ago, there used to be this beautiful placard, a beautiful sign in police headquarters, Central Police Station. And it's like RBPF mandate. Number two on the list of four items, it said every police officer is a traffic officer. Every police officer can enforce traffic controls. Let's fast forward to 2024, and I could tell you, I bet you 50% of police officers don't know what the traffic controls are. And I would wager that 50% of police officers are breaking traffic controls regularly on a daily basis. And I would argue that there is no oversight or enforcement on the use of government-issued cars. The most disheartening thing is to watch red plates and government agency vehicles running stop signs, turning left on red. And what's most disheartening of everything is to constantly watch vehicles that transport tourists turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street. What's also disheartening to see is tourists on ATVs and scooters without helmets. Tourists driving Jeeps and ATVs and scooters in slippers and socks with no protective gear. We have a major crisis on our hands. I get through the text quickly. Aaron, yesterday I met someone traveling the wrong way on a roundabout going into the Bahama property by the art gallery. The gentleman was driving a gray cube. I'm still trying to figure out what they were trying to do. Were they going the wrong way as a shortcut, or did they just land on the boat and didn't understand we drive left to right? I called the Cable Beach police station and they couldn't have been less interested. I don't understand. Don't the police always say, if you see something, say something? That man is going to kill someone. Driving the wrong way on a roundabout is very unusual. The issuance of their driver's license needs to be investigated. The way this did not look in any way like a tourist. It was a black man in a gray cube. Good morning. I questioned this when I saw somebody with Uber on their dashboard. I was taken aback. Another text. There are small Asian cars all over with private and SD plates stopping all over PI, offering tourists rides for a fee. Aaron, just as you said, did I remember a little boy aged 7 to 10 was riding with an elderly man and he cussed me out for not letting them turn left on red while my side of the light was green. Listen, four Christmases ago, a grandmother stopped her car and threatened to do me great bodily damage because I didn't stop my car to let her run the stop sign behind the vehicle that was properly entering the intersection. A Grammy with her grandchild in the vehicle jumped out her car threatening to fight me. Another text, great show as usual. Don't drive on Prince Charles Drive. That road is called the Suicide Road. People are super ridiculous on that road. Please don't drive that road during the holidays or after the holidays. Or maybe the police could just make their presence known and enforce traffic controls. A Texas said, we do have black tourists, but I don't think there was an SD plate on the car. Police truck on saturation patrols do have ID numbers other than their license plate. And the Texas says, Aaron, these children in their cars listening to dirty music. I mean, that's a part of the problem, hey? We don't use that to say, well, don't worry about the behavior that parents are modeling while they drive in the vehicle to their kids. It's all compounded. Anyway, thank you for joining me. Thank you for all of the texts. Mr. Nuri, thank you for joining me. And you guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And to my text, so tomorrow we're going to play the How Bahamian Are You game show, Easter edition. Thanks for tuning in, but stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.